Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Monday, July 29th. Is there a way to encourage the blessings of God? Today, as the Life Principles series continues, we learn that our response to God's directives can impact the way He answers.
When we obey God, God always blesses obedience without an exception. You say, all right, now you haven't heard my story. I'm going to talk about your story before you can tell me, because I know exactly what you're thinking. It may not be your exact personal situation, but it'll cover it. Because you see, God doesn't make any mistakes, and He doesn't claim anything He doesn't do. That is, when you and I, as His followers, obey Him, He's going to bless us every single time. Now, some of you are saying, well, listen, I've been praying and I've been doing thus and so, and I don't feel blessed at all. Well, I want you to listen carefully, because it just may be that you have overlooked something very important in your life. And I think that as you and I begin to understand what a real blessing is, then I'm becoming more sensitive to what He's doing that I don't see. But the blessings are there. And the awareness of His presence and of His involvement in our life. Then, of course, I think obedience always brings blessing, some of which comes later in life. That is, they're eternal blessings. And you know what the Bible says about one of these days we'll stand before Him and we'll receive our rewards. So I want to just take a couple of passages of Scripture of something real simple. And when I think about in Mark, this 9th chapter and the 41st verse, we think of rewards when we get to heaven for people we've witnessed to or things we've done, how we've served Him, whatever it might be. Listen to this verse of Scripture. For whoever gives you, Jesus speaking, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Now, that's probably something that we don't really think about a lot, you know, doing little things for people. But in God's eyes, listen, Jesus said, you give a cup of cool water to someone who's thirsty. He says, you'll not lose your reward for that. Well, we might do that and think nothing of it. On the other hand, think about it this way. As the Spirit of God motivates you to do something for someone or give them something or treat them in some way, that is an act of obedience, and that does not go unseen or unregistered by God. But you may not ever see any blessing of it from here. But in heaven we will be. All of God's blessings are not promised in the here and now. Now, there's another passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaking, He said, blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, ostracize you, insult you, scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day when it's happening, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Now, most people, I'm afraid, they want it now. In other words, the blessings that I'm looking for, I want them now. And the truth is, some of the greatest blessings, and probably the greatest blessings that you and I will ever receive and reward, is going to be when we stand before Him. So, are you the kind of person who insists, that is, God, here's what I ask for, here's what I'm expecting, you don't do this, I don't think you've heard me, and I don't think I've been blessed. You will miss out on some of the best things God has to offer. Because He doesn't think the way we think about these things. And so, then when He doesn't do it our way, then we think, well, Lord, something's wrong here. It's not wrong at all. That some blessings He has planned for us later. Then, of course, there's the whole idea that obedience oftentimes brings hardship and suffering before the blessing. That is, there's some things God's going to require of us that are hard, that are difficult, and cause pain, suffering, hurt. And sometimes, as He said in this passage, the whole idea of persecution. Well, I think about that, and I think about these same biblical characters we've mentioned. God said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. And I'm sure Moses at least had some perspective in the fact that he was going to be rescuing the nation of Israel. He did it, but it was very difficult. He suffered under Pharaoh's hand, scathing denunciation. And then when he got to the Red Sea, you know, some of them wanted to go back to Egypt, back to bondage. Then when he got across the Red Sea, they wanted to stone him to death. Then, of course, because of their sin, 40 long years they wandered around in the wilderness out of disobedience. Now, Moses had obeyed God, but look what he had to go through. And this is a big mistake I think many people make. Just because your life doesn't just tune up and everything is just easygoing and soft and, you know, you got sweet music and life is just the way you expect it, you think, well, God, now where are you? He's where he's always been. Remember what he said? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you say, well, if he's not going to leave me or forsake me, why hasn't he done what I want him to do? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe he's omniscient, all-knowing? Yes. You believe he loves you unconditionally? Yes. Do you believe he knows what's best for you? Well, yes. Sometimes we hesitate on that one. Well, then don't you think that what he's doing in your life just may be something that he knows is going to be awesomely blessing to you? Sometimes we don't see it that way. And so when I look at also at Paul and think about how God worked in his life and the difficulty and the hardship he had, you say, well, do you think Paul thought it was a blessing to go from one jailhouse to the other when he hadn't done anything to deserve it? Falsely accused, when he was stoned and dying in the city streets of Lystra, having been stoned, usually when they stoned you, you did die. But he didn't die. But you know what? What did Paul do? He thanked God for the privilege of suffering for Jesus Christ. He would have said, yes, I've been blessed today. I've been blessed in two ways. I've been blessed by being an object of opposition who stands for Jesus Christ. I've been blessed by being stoned and left for dead. And I've been blessed because God raised me up. And I've been blessed because I'm going to keep on doing what God's called me to do. He saw all of that, experienced all the pain, and knew that in the midst of all that, there was blessing for him. I think about him sitting in a Roman prison or one other prison, Caesarea, wherever it might be, and what kind of food did he have? Remember, he was just a prisoner. He was not the Apostle Paul prisoner. He was just a prisoner. And living in a prison with prison rations and being treated like a prisoner and penning these books of Colossians, Philippians, and Ephesians, three life-changing books that are just awesome. And they're short books, four chapters, six chapters. Well, how can you be blessed in a cold Roman prison? Only when you see it God's way. You see, God is blessing some of you, and you don't even think it's a blessing. Because if it's not sweet and lovely and gentle, and you've got everything you want, you don't think God's blessing you. He didn't have everything you wanted. But look what God did. He so worked in his life, he wrote the book of Ephesians, which is absolutely awesome. And the book of Colossians. And the book of Philippians. Three books that, listen, if it didn't have anything else in the Bible to tell me how to live, there is sufficient right there. He wrote these in prison, sent them out. And what happens? These churches in those days, they passed the letters around. They didn't have typewriters and computers and all the stuff we have. They sent around, somebody would stand up and read them. And they had to remember what they heard because they weren't taking notes. They didn't have anything to take notes on. They had to remember it. And God used him in the most difficult situations and circumstances of his life to be an awesome blessing. Did he feel it? Yes, I'll tell you why. Here's what he said to the end of his life. He said, I fought a good fight, and that was true because he'd been fighting most of his life. He says, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Do you think he would have said, even before he was getting ready to be beheaded, really been tough in the Christian life, spent a lot of time in jail, falsely accused me, tried to assassinate me, and had me mostly dead in the streets of Lystra, persecuted everywhere I went. It's been a terrible life. If he'd have thought like some of us think, that's what he'd have said. But he said, finished the course, kept the faith. He's done what God had called him to do, and he was supernaturally blessed. Do you realize that God is in the process of blessing you, and maybe you don't even realize it? Because you've been limited to something physical? and all these things are spiritual and all these things are emotional. But this is truth. This is how we lived, and here's what happened. And then people today, for example, oftentimes we complain about things and we forget all about the blessing. And every once in a while we'll meet somebody who can't walk, can't see, can't hear. And this smile on their face and this joy in their life, we think, how can they? Because you see, not being able to see, they see what you and I don't see. Not being able to hear, they hear what we don't hear. You see, the blessings of God are not limited to this life, and they're not limited to things that oftentimes we think are so very, very important. Now, somebody says, well, if I'm going through all this, how can God be blessing me when I'm going through it and I'm hurting and feeling all this? What's God's purpose in this? If I could just see God's purpose in it, I might feel blessed. Well, let me give you one. Here's one of his purposes, and that is to bring us to the end of ourselves. You and I become the most useful when we are at the end of ourselves in absolute, total dependence upon God. Sometimes it's to bring us to the end of ourselves. Sometimes his purpose is to prevent us from becoming prideful. And he takes things out of life that we worshiped. He takes it away. You say, well, how could that be a blessing? Listen to this. Would you not agree that any idol God takes out of your life and mine is a blessing? Or we look at it as a loss, and God looks at it as a blessing. Because anything that causes us to stumble, anything that causes us to get off that path, is not good for us. And so we may feel like, well, Lord, you took this out of my life. Must have had a purpose. But does he not say that he causes all things, not some, all things to work together for good? I may not like it. It may be painful. It may be hurtful. He's going to cause all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who call according to his purpose. I may not see it. I may not feel it for the moment, but I know he's in it. If you can just grasp that, if you can just get a hold of that truth, this is where it came from. Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. That is, if you honor him and you obey him, he's going to turn every pain, every heartache into something good. It doesn't say in the scripture that he's got to remove this or remove that or remove the other. Why does he allow these things in our life? To give us a deeper understanding of who he is, how he works, what are his ways. And so, whereas I may not see it at the moment, if I'm growing in my spiritual life, I'm beginning to understand, and I think about it in my own life, I think about how excited I get every time I see God up to something that I can't figure out. I don't necessarily know why, but I know he's in it, and I know Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible because it's still in the heart of God, it's still in his mind, that I know that somehow if I will respond correctly, I am getting ready to get blessed. And I may look at that situation and think, it's going to be painful, difficult, hard to deal with. But Lord, if you're in it, and I know you are, I'm getting ready to be blessed. So you see, if we look at these things from God's perspective, it isn't that we're not blessed. We're not sensitive to the blessing because it's not my definition of what a blessing is. Remember what we read a few moments ago? That is, anything that falls in the category as an expression of God's love and goodness is a blessing to us. Then I think about this also, that when you and I are obedient to him and he blesses us, he's going to bless others. When you and I are obedient to God, we may think we keep it to ourselves, but other people watch how we respond. And as I've said before, and I said again and again and again, you want to lay a foundation for your children. You want to give them a foundation that will take them through the most difficult, trying times of life, full of temptation, heartache, and worldliness, and lust, and you want to take them through that? Then build into their life very early that God always blesses obedience. And listen, share with them what you're going through, because they need to see how you respond. They need to hear you talk about your relationship to God and how you're trusting him and how you're depending upon him and how you're expecting him to bless you in the middle of all that. They need to hear that. And I can remember times when my family and I got around the table, and I just lay out, here's what's going on, and we just need to cry out to God to show us what to do. What did it teach them? When they were going through situations, get on their knees, cry out to God, and watch Him work. And you see, some of these things become the greatest blessings of our life. But if you don't share them, then you keep it to yourself. Sometimes, in some situations, some people are going to get blessed. Watch this carefully. One of the reasons He allows us to go through these things is to demonstrate through you to other people how faithful He is to one of His children. Now, if that doesn't bless you, what does? That is, when you and I become living, walking examples of the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God and how God works, and we are living examples of that. Listen, think about this. The Apostle Paul counted it all joy in his heart to be an example for Christ. You can do the same thing. When you and I prove to be obedient to Him in difficult times, we become living examples of the work of God, of the hand of God, of the ways of God, how God brings us through these things. And so that circumstance, that situation, it becomes a blessing. It becomes a blessing to other people. Then, and we could talk a lot about that, but just let me say this. Obedience always brings blessings. Now watch this one. Chosen by God. That is, obedience always brings blessings that are chosen by God, which simply means this. He may choose to bless us through our obedience in a way we wouldn't choose. But He certainly guarantees I'm going to be blessed when I respond correctly. So I would ask you today, what would God need to do in your life? Would He have to give you something? Would He have to give you somebody? Some material thing? What would He have to do in order to bring you to the point that you could say, yes, Lord, I do believe with all of my heart that You have blessed me, because here's what's happened. Or could you say, Lord, in my pain, You're blessing me. In my loss, I see Your blessing. You're driving me to Yourself. You're drawing me to Yourself. You're sifting and sanding in me and cutting out the stuff in my life that I knew didn't belong that I began with. Thank You, Father, for blessing me by pruning me and sanding me and sifting me and making me more like Yourself. In all of this loss, all of this hurt, all of this pain, all this removal of these dead branches, thank You, dear God, for loving me enough to bless me with the removal of anything and everything in my life that keeps me from walking Your pathway. Could you say that to Him? If you can, then you understand what the true blessings of God are really all about. Not what I can necessarily touch or feel or see or possess, but what I can experience in understanding who He is. And Father, how grateful we are. You make it so simple, we make it so complicated. Sometimes it gets tough, and you know it does. You didn't say I would be with you in the good times. You didn't say I'll be with you most of the time. You said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank You for that. And I pray that for every person who hears this message, that You'll drill into their heart and soul that their loving Heavenly Father has the best if they'll step onto His path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of Obedience Always Brings Blessing. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.